The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Even this, I always get a kick out of. Fox News. Fox News requires vaccinations for all employees.
Fox News called Arizona for Biden prematurely. Fox News wouldn't investigate election fraud. Fox News hasn't reported on the Arizona audit or exposed the insurrection hoax. What else? What else can we go through?
The communist whisperer is back. He is back, and he is back selling his, I guess, his vaccine mandate plan. That's his economic plan now. This is, he said yesterday with a straight face that vaccine mandates are the most powerful economic stimulus in history. And then the jobs report comes out this morning, and it's catastrophic. We'll come to that and so much more on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We are certainly grateful that you're joining our growing audience. You can get to our live stream of this program at our very own website, thetrumpet.com. thetrumpet.com/live takes you to the live stream page, also to all of our podcasts that are posted after the fact. You can get to those on demand whenever you like. Of course, we appreciate both, whether you listen live or if you listen later, as many do. So this vaccine mandate being the most powerful stimulus, that's what he was saying yesterday. And then we awoke this morning to these dreadful jobs numbers. Here's a sampling from the major media, clip one.
Hot off the presses, a brand new jobs report, a look at the state of the economy. Chief business correspondent Christine Romans with the new details. What does it say?
All right, let me just run through the top line numbers for you here, John, because it's a real brain teaser. 194,000 net new jobs added, way less than anybody expected, and less than last month and the worst of the year.
194.
Whoa.
I see 194,000. That is real low. Consensus of 500,000. August was revised up a bit, so 366,000. Let me go to the B1 table and see if I can find where the jobs were. And I think in this case, where the jobs weren't is what we're trying to figure out. It was definitely a weaker number than expected. Government minus 123 with a big decline in local government education. So I guess you had the addition in August, came off in September. That leisure and hospitality, 74,000. That's not the kind of numbers we need from that sector to drive the employment that we need. I'm going to see if I can find retail here. Nothing really going on in leisure and hospitality. Declines in nursing.
We love it when you can get their reaction live. These were live programs just this morning as the numbers were rolling in. And there's your legacy media, the propaganda media. They can't very well spin this in real time. More people vaxxed than ever before. Well over 2,000, if we're to believe the numbers, and who knows, because the CDC and others, they're quite willing to lie if it suits their purposes. But well over 2/3 of Americans vaxxed. They've gotten the jab. And so we're on our way back to normal. And yet nobody's going to work. There's jobs all over the place. You can't go to a store. You can't go to any place without seeing signs out there saying, we need help. We're taking applications. And yet Americans aren't going back to work. Why? There's Joe Biden out there saying everything's great. This is the greatest stimulus for the economy ever. And meanwhile, in New York City, businesses are at about 40 to 60%, accepting, at least in the case of restaurants, only those who are vaxxed. Businesses are being boarded up. It's just like that video I played for you from Melbourne the other day. All of these open, for lease, the businesses are gone. The lockdown, you had lockdowns all through last year, which killed the economy. And then how do we come out of it? Vaccine mandates, which is killing the economy even more. This is the Biden economic plan. Kill the U.S. economy. Here you have all of these stories coming out. Mass layoffs right across the board. American Airlines, they're following right after United. Tens of thousands of employees. And they're laying off people in the healthcare industry. We're supposedly in the midst of a pandemic, and we've got to get rid of healthcare workers because they didn't get the jab. Because they're not doing what the government tells you to do. The New York Times, it says here, the unemployment rate fell to 4.8%, but that was partly a result of the people leaving the labor force entirely, a sign that public health fears and the other disruptions from COVID are still keeping people from looking for work. They've just stopped. They're just going to live off the government. And that's the way the government prefers it to be, because then you have control. This is really and truly what Joe Obama wants. This is what Antiochus wants. Kill the U.S. economy. Get everyone, including those streaming across the border at the South, get them all dependent on government services, and then just keep growing the government and printing trillions of dollars. And then the Republicans caving in on the debt ceiling. So much weakness. Just give these communists everything that they want until the country just implodes. That's where we're headed. We're going the way of Rome. And all these jobs in education, healthcare, as I say, healthcare is supposed to be the fastest growing industry in the United States. Now, all of a sudden, people being laid off, hundreds here, hundreds over here. This is from BLS Government/News. It says, in September, employment decreased by 144,000 in local government education and 17,000 in state government education. Further down, it says, employment in healthcare changed little in September, minus 18,000. Job losses occurred in nursing and residential care facilities, minus 38,000, and hospitals, minus 8,000. While ambulatory healthcare services added jobs, it says employment in healthcare is down by 524,000 since February 2020. Did you hear this? How in the midst of a pandemic do you lose employees? Over 500,000 since February of 2020. Last year, they were heroes. Last year, they risked their lives. Last year, these radical leftists, they couldn't praise them enough. Now, if they don't have the jab, you got to get out. You lose your job. 2/3 to 3/4 of Americans have gotten the jab. The vaccine is supposed to save us, right? It's supposed to return things to normal. As it happens, this week, we crossed the threshold of more deaths than in all of 2020 when we didn't even have a vaccine. What does that tell you about the effectiveness of the vaccine? Or the ineffectiveness, I should say. Listen to Joe Biden yesterday talking about how wonderful this is. The vaccine mandates are helping us grow. It's helping the economy, don't you know? Clip 7.
Today's report shows that vaccination requirements are good for the economy. Not only increase in vaccination rates, but to help send people back to work. Back to work. You know, when I first started the vaccination program, and we got all that vaccine enough for everyone, we're vaccinating 3 million people a day. We're getting very close before things began to slow down. The economy is growing, leaps and bounds. 6%, the fastest growing major economy in the world. In fact, increased vaccination coverage results in as many as 5 million American workers going back to work because they feel safe they can go back to work. There'll be more economic demand to drive people back to the workforce.
Growing by leaps and bounds, really? Yet another lie A bald-faced lie. That's all that it is. They had estimated 500,000, which 500,000 new jobs for September, and that was low. To come in at 190-some thousand this morning, these are catastrophic numbers. And you've got all these cargo ships lining up on both coasts, the west and the east, and they can't get unloaded. Supply chains have just ground to a halt. There's no workers. Shelves are emptying. People are getting concerned and worried. No one's going back to work. It's from the Fox News. It says the American supply chain has so far not been able to handle the influx of imports as businesses rush to restock inventories that were depleted during the pandemic. They just can't get back to normal. So all these cargo ships, they're just out there, just waiting in the ocean. Listen to Joe Biden yesterday talk about all of, you know, the people they used to think were the evil corporations of Wall Street. Now he's citing them as proof positive that these mandates are really helping us. They're really stimulating the economy. Listen to the fake president, clip 8.
Goldman Sachs, quote, vaccination will have a positive impact on employment. It means less spread of COVID-19, which will help people return to work. Moody's on Wall Street. Vaccination means fewer infections, hospitalizations, and death. In turn, it means a stronger economy. One economist called vaccine requirements, and I quote, the single most powerful, he didn't say single, the most powerful economic stimulus ever enacted, end of quote.
The most powerful economic stimulus ever for the United States, the vaccine mandates. Says it with a straight face. He believes, really, the plan is to kill the economy. And then you add to it, as I've been covering in recent programs, from the health perspective, the fact that the vaccines aren't working. And in fact, they're hurting people. You just look at the statistics. Look at the figures. A tweet from COVID Clarity. It says over 200 million people have now been vaccinated in the U.S. 68% of adults are fully vaccinated. And 78% have had at least one dose. Yet, COVID cases and deaths are more than double what they were this same time last year. Cases and deaths, more than double. And yet, here come the communists doubling down on the vaccine. Not just one and two jabs, but a booster shot. That's where they're headed. Two boosters a year from here on out. Pfizer's living on COVID money. They've admitted it. 5 to 11 years of age now. We've got to get the five-year-olds. Get them the jab. More money for Pfizer. Listen to, again, Joe Biden yesterday talking about all these mass firings going on at American Airlines, United Airlines, these healthcare industries, teaching, everywhere. People being fired. Most presidents come into office looking to try to add jobs to the markets, to the economy. Here there's mass firings. And Joe Biden says, look, don't pay attention to those headlines. You got to see the bigger picture here. This is clip 2.
These requirements work. And as the Business Roundtable and others told me when I announced the first requirement, that encouraged businesses to feel they could come in and demand the same thing of their employees. More people are getting vaccinated. More lives are being saved. Let's be clear. When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story. I've spoken with Scott Kirby, CEO of United Airlines, who's here today. United went from 59% of their employees to 99% of their employees in less than 2 months after implementing the requirement. 99%.
Right. You go to 99% after you lay off the ones that won't get vaccinated. How simple is that? Hey, we've got 100% participation now in United. Americans soon to follow. Just fire the ones that won't get the jab. And then look at the percentages. They just skyrocket. I mean, this is a huge boost for the economy, says this illegitimate president, whose approval rating is just plummeting, and no wonder. The Biden economic plan killed the U.S. economy. It's as simple as that. Just kill it. This is the desired outcome. This is what they want, as I keep saying. What's happening at the southern border? It is what they want. What's happening with the vaccine rollout? All of the deadly side effects in some cases? It's what they want. What's happening with the economy? It is what they want. And by they, I mean Barack Obama. I saw a commentator the other day talking about how Obama, he was in control of the deep state, even during the Trump years. That's why Donald Trump's administration came under attack, and it was nonstop. It just was this relentless attack that went on for all 4 years of the Trump presidency. We've talked about 2008 to 2016. There's the Antiochus administration. And then you jump ahead to, 2021 here. And you say, well, this is the Obama third term. Clearly. But what about those 4 years in between even? I mean, you have to give Donald Trump some credit for going forward with his agenda, even in the face of all of that resistance and those attacks from Bob Mueller. Well, really, Bob Mueller's people. You had Adam Schiff the other day talk about Mueller's cognitive decline. It's very sad, he says. It was pretty clear when he came and testified after the report was finished. All the attack dogs working underneath him, Weissman and the others. This has been Obama from 2008 to today. I told the students in doctrines this morning, when we broke ground on God's house, the beautiful Armstrong Auditorium, back in 2007, my father said, as this building goes up, it's really a type of God's work. God's work is going to grow and prosper in the years ahead. But he says, as this building goes up and as God's work prospers, you're going to see some kind of decline in our nations. It was just months before Obama came into office. And he has been working ever since to fundamentally transform the United States of America, even during the Trump years. He's certainly there right now, hard at work. Tucker Carlson had an 8-minute monologue last night, basically about, who's running the White House? It wasn't that long ago when we were the only ones talking about that. Now, just mainstream commentators. Who is it? And they don't even get as specific as they should. But they know this is not Joe Biden. This is Barack Obama. Listen to Tucker. He's basically saying here, a few weeks back when the French withdrew their ambassador from D.C. after the United States entered into that agreement with Australia on the nuclear subs and so on, and France was really upset. And so John Kerry, he's the climate guru now, and he was sitting down with French reporters recently and basically admitted that, Biden didn't know what was going on. He didn't have a clue. Listen to Tucker talk about that last night, clip 9.
Why did the Biden administration cut France out of a nuclear submarine deal with Australia? And his response was amazing. He said Joe Biden did this because Joe Biden was completely unaware there was a problem in the first place. Watch this.
And President Biden asked me about it, and I told him and expressed.
You told Joe Biden that it was not the right.
He asked me. He said, "What's the situation?" And I explained exactly. He had not been aware of that. He literally had not been aware of what had transpired.
When was the last time you heard someone from the U.S. government admit that the president was completely clueless? Quote, he literally had not been aware of what had transpired.
Said John Kerry. He had no idea what was going on. The Federalist had a piece on Joe Biden's weekend excursions to Wilmington. He's gone to Camp David a lot. It says during his first 29 weekends in office, the president was in Wilmington for 14 weekends and Camp David in Maryland for 8 weekends. So 22 out of 29 weekends he's been away. And as the Federalist asks, is he off to Wilmington or wherever every weekend in order to dodge the visitor logs? Of course. Of course, Obama and his people, they're running the show. And they're programming him every weekend. This is the plan. Kill the U.S. economy. This is a plan. This is the plan. Fly the illegals all over the United States, even if they've got COVID, or worse, even if they've got AIDS or tuberculosis or whatever. Just fly, spread them out. Spread them out. Put them on government handouts. The refugees, bring them into the U.S. bases and then just let them go. A lot of them are gone missing. They just leave the U.S. bases as they spread out over the United States. Afghanistan, just try to cover it up. We're done. Never mind the ones suffering there. Never mind the ones being tortured. Never mind the ones being killed. And so the approval ratings continue to plummet. But Obama doesn't care. Biden's going to be the fall guy. They'll throw him under the bus. Seems like they're about ready to do it right now. But he continues his work of destruction. What an abomination of desolation we're seeing on the national level. And Antiochus, behind it all. There was a hearing this week, too, on the Arizona audit. Surprisingly, I guess it made its way into the House. It's about time. And you have these representatives from Maricopa County basically up there testifying. Well, yeah, I mean, we deleted things before we handed files over. It's just what we always do. We delete. Delete, 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 delete. Here you go. Have all that you want. Move ahead to, this is a Maricopa County official admitting that the county deleted data before handing over subpoenaed hard drives. Clip 5.
Is it standard practice to delete files off a server after an election, Mr. Bennett?
I hope not.
So, Mr. Gates, would you agree with that?
I would say that it is appropriate to maintain files, and that's exactly what we did. We deleted the deleted files that had been discussed. They were archived.
So you admit that you guys did delete, Maricopa County did delete files off the server after the election?
That are archived.
Yeah, and so when you released these servers and this information to the auditors to begin with, they didn't have access to those archived files at first. Is that fair to say?
They did not subpoena those. That's correct.
Okay, so you didn't feel obligated to turn that over then to them?
We responded to the subpoena.
Okay. Mr. Bennett, your response to that?
I find it, frankly, laughable to suggest that a county, in response to a subpoena, could say we will delete files from the hard drives and materials that we give to the auditors because we have those files archived on data that we did not give to the auditors when the subpoena said turn over all the records related to the election.
Yeah, see, that's the way I read the subpoena. It was more broadly than the county read it, for sure.
As part of this exchange, by the way, the Maricopa County official noted that, or I think it was actually the congressman who said that, well, then why weren't files from previous elections deleted? It's just 2020 that they were trying to clean up. Wink, wink. Got to get rid of that 2020 evidence, and then we can hand over some of these things. Is Fox News paying attention? Nobody wants to look into it. Everyone wants to continue to just play along, to just move along, nothing to see here. The election gets stolen. The January 6th hoax. Afghanistan. Just move along. There was a report the other day. I didn't have time to get to it yesterday. Coming out of Afghanistan, that the suicide bomber that killed 13 Marines, he was let out of that prison at Bagram Airfield. Biden evacuated. The Taliban took over, opened up the prisons, and then the suicide bomber killed 13 Americans. And America, for its part, no response, of course. They just left. And they left all of those American citizens there trapped. When we come back, we'll play you the CNN report on the Afghanistan evacuation that was just such a shameful record for the United States. The whole world is watching, after all. As the U.S. leaves, who's going to fill the power vacuum? Well, that's where Bible prophecy comes into play. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email the show if you want to submit some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Several U.S. officials tell CNN that the suicide bomber who carried out the attack, killing 13 American service members, dozens of Afghans, had just been released from prison days before the attack.
When the Taliban took power on that Sunday, the first thing they did before coming into Kabul was essentially to empty the prisons at Parwan Prison in Bagram and also in Pulacharki. And I remember that very well because there were very real security concerns across the whole capital that this could lead to a huge spike in crime and also terrorist activity. Parwan Prison at Bagram held thousands of prisoners, but also specifically hundreds of very dangerous terrorists. Now, the Taliban was obviously trying to release their own people from the prison, but in the process, they did release these ISIS-K members.
Yeah, and one of them was the suicide bomber, Cheryl Atkinson. She had an article just this week about the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. She said it's even worse than people know. It's even worse. And yet this is dropped off the front pages. This is buried under the news cycle. We've moved on to improving the economy with the Green New Deal and vaccine mandates, which is just crushing the economy. Afghanistan, it's worse than people know. Atkinson says the biometrics files, she's talking about the biometrics files that the U.S. left behind, all of this data, all of this information on Americans and those that were friendly to America, the Afghans that helped the American cause. She says the biometrics files were quickly collected by the Islamic extremist Taliban. What did the Taliban do with it? According to the information, the Taliban sent spoof emails pretending that the emails were generated by the U.S. State Department, instructing the Afghans to report to safe houses. When the Afghans arrived at the fake safe houses, the Taliban executed them. It's worse than you know, America. It's worse. It's even worse. Atkinson goes on to describe the drone strike, you know, the one that killed seven children, and how that there were all these people in the Pentagon that thought, I don't know about this. And then as soon as the strike happened, they didn't see all of these multiple explosions that would have happened if the car was loaded with explosives. They knew right away that they didn't hit a target. They knew right away that this was not a terrorist with a car full of bombs. And yet, what did Milley come out and say? Well, he said there's all kinds of secondary explosions This is before the truth came out. Milley lied and people died. Where's the legacy media? Where's Fox News on these reports? The January 6th hoax, that's just another ongoing tragedy. You have people still rotting in jail. Even as this young man who shot four people in Arlington just this week, he's let out of jail the very next day on $75,000 in bail, $75,000. And this deranged lunatic who went on a shooting spree, he's walking the streets in Texas, no problem. Yet grandma with the selfie, she's still in jail, presumably, because of the fake insurrection, the hoax. The hoax that Moore should be exposing. You have these stories of biased judges, these left-wing judges, in some cases appointed by Obama, that are persecuting the January 6th protesters just because they're Trump supporters. And some judges that, even though they do view it as an insurrection, they see these sentences, some of them, as grave injustices because they look back at last summer and see that all these rioters and looters and burners, they just got off scot-free. It wasn't even $75,000 in bail. It was like $50 fine, and they're on the streets the next day. Roger Kimball at Imprimis, the January 6th insurrection hoax. That's what it was. It was a hoax. Notwithstanding all the hysterical rhetoric, he says, surrounding the events of January 6, 2021, two critical things stand out. The first is that what happened was much more hoax than insurrection. In fact, in my judgment, it wasn't an insurrection at all. Of course it wasn't. No weapons, nothing. It was a protest gone awry. That's what it was. Let's call it what it was. The only one who was killed was Ashley Babbitt. It says, an insurrection, as the dictionary will tell you, is a violent uprising against a government or other established authority. Unlike the violent riots that swept the country in the summer of 2020, riots that caused some $2 billion in property damage and claimed more than 20 lives, the January 6th protest at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. lasted a few hours, caused minimal damage, and the only person directly killed was an unarmed female Trump supporter who was shot by a Capitol police officer. And yet you have Wolf Blitzer on the 9-month anniversary, just the other day, tweeting out a picture of the Capitol. I'm here on the anniversary of the insurrection. Oh, what an ominous-looking tweet. Of a background that was completely peaceful, quite unlike the background of those reporters who were on the scene as Minneapolis was just burning to the ground. I mean, this is George Orwell stuff right here. You can't get to the truth. Whether it's legacy media, conservative media, it's just a few outlets that you have to search. My son was telling me this the other night, doing some research on the election steal, on the Arizona audit, and how deeply you've got to get into a Google search just to find anything on the audit. Because people just want to blot it out. Big tech, they're in on it. Satan, of course, is behind it all, as we've covered so often on this program. He wants to blot out our nation. He wants to blot out its foundations. He's behind the fundamental transformation. Just a few more days. What did Barack Obama say there in 2008? 5 more days till we fundamentally transform the United States of America. And that's what's happening. A fundamental transformation. Kimball says, to understand the January 6th insurrection, the hoax, you also have to understand that other long-running hoax, the Russia collusion hoax. The story of that hoax begins back in 2015, when the resources of the federal government were first mobilized to spy on the Trump campaign, to frame various people close to Trump, and eventually to launch a full-throated criminal investigation of the Trump administration. So as I said earlier in the first segment, you see Barack Obama from beginning to end, from 2008 all the way through to today, even during the Trump years. He was behind the Russia collusion hoax. He was behind the dirty dossier. He was behind all those illegal investigations, the wiretapping, the spying. It says here, from before Trump took office, the Russia collusion hoax was used as a pretext to create a parallel administration shadowing the elected administration. That was Obama. That was Antiochus. You want to learn more about the attack on the United States of America? Well, here it is. America under attack. Call our operators today and request your free copy. The number's toll free, 1-866-930-3024. It's a toll free number in the United States. It's a toll free number in Canada, in the Caribbean. Says here, but in truth, the Steele dossier was just opposition dirt covertly paid for by the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign. From beginning to end, it was a tissue of lies and fabrications. Everyone involved knew all along it was garbage, rumors, and fantasy fed to a gullible Steele by shady Russian sources. But it was nonetheless used to deploy illegally the awesome coercive power of the state against a presidential candidate and later a president, because the harassment just continued right through the Trump presidency, a presidential candidate of whom the ruling bureaucracy and its favored candidate disapproved. See, the deep state, they didn't approve. So they tried to destroy Trump for 4 years, and they continue with this. The January 6th hoax is intended to destroy Donald Trump. And so the legacy media is out there, the propaganda media, they're out there continuing with the lies, the false narratives. It doesn't matter what revelations come out, that the FBI had infiltrated the protest or Antifa. It doesn't matter. Just carry on with the narrative. Listen to Joe Scarborough talking about the January 6th carnage as he sees it, clip 13.
One day in January where Trump supporters took American flags and bashed cops' brains in and bashed law enforcement officers' heads in, used American flags to bash American officers' heads in time and time again.
It's as if somebody's bashed his head in. Everything you heard right there, lies, lies. Nobody bashed in the heads of officers. He's going with the fire extinguisher lie that was exposed as a lie in January, in February. Officer Sicknick, he died of a stroke. He didn't get his head bashed in. You want to see some head bashing? Go back to last summer. Go back to 2020. You want to see young people being gunned down from behind, or an officer. Remember the one in St. Louis? Officer Dorn came out to try to protect a store, a pawn shop for his buddy. And he's gunned down in cold blood, live on Facebook. Is that killer in jail? I wonder. Do they even know where that killer is? I wonder. It's an upside down world. You think this is God's world? It's not God's world. But God's world is coming. God's world is going to be established on this earth with the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of God's kingdom. In recent shows, we've been going through this awesome purpose and plan that God's working out here below, and how that it's a plan that includes all of mankind. Everyone who's ever lived will have an opportunity for salvation. Even the thugs that are roaming the streets of our big cities, now that the law enforcement officials have been handcuffed, so to speak, murder rates are skyrocketing, wars and rumors of wars, just as Jesus said, all over the place. And yet God has a plan. Listen to this email. I got this the other day in response to these studies we've had through the week if you're listening to this show on the weekend, we have a daily broadcast, Monday through Friday, where we cover the most significant stories of the day under the clear light of Bible prophecy. We tell you where it's leading. We can't get into every detail. That's why we refer you to some of our literature, these booklets and books that we offer at no cost or obligation, free of charge to you. I mean, it's been paid for by other supporters of this work, God's work. But here's a woman writing in response to our Bible studies. She says, just writing to express my appreciation for the tremendous Bible study on the TD program from October 6th and the follow-up the next day. The message that there is hope for everyone shows how much God loves all of us and wants us all to know him and to be saved. She says, I have to ask why the traditional Christian church to which I belong does not teach about prophecy. I have to ask, why doesn't my church teach this? Why won't my church go through Revelation 20 about the thousand-year millennium and then the great white throne judgment thereafter? Why doesn't my church teach about Ezekiel 37, the valley of the dry bones and the resurrection from the dead? It says, I have to ask why the traditional Christian church to which I belong does not teach about prophecy. The Bible is full of prophecy, and in today's world, prophecy explains why everything around us that we believe to be good, honest, true, and proper is being attacked and discredited. Why is this happening? Well, you need Bible prophecy to understand. It says, the traditional Christian church is also either vague about what happens to you when you die, or teaches that you go straight to heaven or hell. But the Bible says that the dead know nothing. From dust you came, and to dust you return until the resurrection. So why do the churches of this world teach one thing, and the Bible says something completely different? Well, these are good questions. If you want to understand God's purpose and plan, here is a magnificent book, Mystery of the Ages. This is Herbert Armstrong's. This is his crowning achievement, written in the last year of his life, the last year of his long ministry. Call our operators today and request Mystery of the Ages and have the seven great mysteries unlocked and open to your understanding. It says here, but the Bible says the dead know not anything. I read that. It says, on another note, and referring to previous Bible study sections on the Trinity, I've never been able to accept the Trinity in the way that it is taught in the traditional Christian faith. Recently, I asked two separate ministers to explain the Trinity. One said it was a subject that was very difficult to explain, and that is why most ministers don't give sermons on the subject. Well, that's interesting. It's hard to explain, so they don't talk about it? The Trinity? I mean, something central to everything the traditional Christian church teaches and believes? It says here, Sunday, the other said he accepted, sorry, they don't teach about the Trinity on Sunday in their sermons. The other, talked to another minister, the other said he accepted the Trinity as it was, three in one, one in three, co-equal persons. Again, I don't see this in the Bible. I have lots to think about, thanks to the Trumpet Daily. I have lots to think about. Yes, indeed. We have a lot to think about. If you just open your Bible and look at what God says. Yesterday we went through 2 Peter 3. Let's just pick it up again in verse 8. I read this to you yesterday. It shows us God's perspective. He really is viewing things from an elevated standpoint. He sees the big picture. 2 Peter 3:8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the eternal as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. As I said yesterday, Isaiah 57 says God inhabits eternity. So we've got to be eternity oriented in our thinking. That's hard to do when we're flesh and blood, because we're just so physical and carnal in our thoughts. But Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're going to end up miserable. So we've got to stretch our minds We've got to see what God sees. Proverbs 29:18. We've got to have vision. And then we've got to keep the law as well. 1 John 3:3-4. It talks about the law, by the way, in that same proverb. Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Vision first, then the law. Because you see what you need to do to realize that potential, to get to that destination, spiritually speaking. Verse 9, it says, "The Eternal is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We read this yesterday as well. But God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to change. He wants everyone to turn to God. And of course, he's laid out this purpose and plan in which most people, by the time it's all said and done, will turn to God in repentance and faith. Verse 10, it says, "But the day of the Eternal will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." So this takes us ahead. This takes us far into the future, beyond even the 7,000-year millennium, beyond even that 100-year period of great white throne judgment. That's in, again, if these are terms you're not familiar with, open your Bible and read Revelation 20. The rest live not until the end of the 1,000 years. They're brought back to life. You put it together with Ezekiel 37, Isaiah 65. The books of the Bible are open to their understanding, and they have this opportunity to live out their lives in the flesh, to participate in God's plan, and to turn their hearts to God, quite unlike mankind is doing today. We've rejected God. Our hearts are hostile to God. Romans 8:7, Jeremiah 17:9. We don't want God in our society. We don't want God involved in our nations. As disastrous as our governments are, as disastrous as our economy is, as disastrous as it is in higher education, the university, as disastrous as it is all over the world, popular cult, we don't want to bring God into it. We want God to keep his nose out of our business. Thank you very much. But here is a time beyond the 1,000 years, beyond the 100 years of great white throne judgment, that period. And God says the elements will melt the entire surface of the earth. By this point, we're either spirit being, we're either eternally living spirit beings, or we're consumed by this fiery lake. And most, as I said yesterday, most by this point will be devoted to God's purpose and plan. It's a family plan. And you can explain it. You can explain it every Sabbath. You can give a message on God's family plan. No problem. It's all through the Bible. No, and I imagine it would be difficult. If you were a preacher in the world trying to explain the Trinity, which is nowhere in the Bible, how do you explain that? Well, you don't, as one minister admitted. You just accept it and go forward. They're not going forward. They're going backward. Is religion, there's more than 1 billion Christian adherents in the world today. Is that really solving the problems of this world? Look at the world around us. We're just being buried by one problem, one curse after another. And it's prophesied. I mentioned Mystery of the Ages. This is the signature work Mr. Armstrong did on the subject of Bible prophecy. And the content in this book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, it really will unlock your understanding to all of Bible prophecy. And a third of the Bible is prophecy. So we don't dismiss a third of the Bible because we can't understand it, or, well, it's not really for today. It is for today. It's for our time. You have examples like Isaiah 30 and verse 8, where God told the prophet, write this down, because it's for a latter time. He told Daniel the same thing. He told John with respect to the revelation that God gave to him at the Isle of Patmos. This is for the end time. And now we're here. All of these prophecies are being fulfilled. And what do you see? You see people collectively just going right to sleep. A deep slumber. Verse 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness?" I mean, knowing what's coming, knowing that there's this fiery purge, knowing that the earth is going to be baptized in fire at the end of the millennium, at the end of the great white throne judgment period, knowing the future, knowing how that this is really just Operation Earth. It's a launching pad that takes us right out into the universe. Read Romans 8. If you haven't heard some of these things, I can't go through every verse, chapter and verse, but you've got to study Romans 8. Look, Mr. Armstrong in Mystery of the Ages, he goes through quite a lot of Romans 8 in chapter 7, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Most people don't know anything about it because they won't read and study their Bibles. Study Romans 8. See what it says about the whole universe. Yearning, longing for the birth of the first fruits. Just waiting for the family of God. Waiting for the sons of God. What manner of persons ought we to be given these prophecies? Mr. Armstrong says, "Brethren, each, look at your own self. Are you without a single spiritual blemish?" It says, when we repent, believe, and receive God's gift of the Holy Spirit, we must confess we're not holy without spiritual spot or wrinkle or a single spiritual blemish. But we must grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a quote right here from this chapter we're going through, 2 Peter 3. It's verse 18. It's how the chapter ends. Mr. Armstrong says, "Brethren, we are simply not yet ready for the divine wedding as part of God's church with a holy and perfect Christ." That's Revelation 19:7. The marriage between Christ and the church. We're not quite ready, he says, but don't be discouraged. No one is that perfect when first converted. The Christian life is a life of constant growth. And so we've got to overcome. We've got to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've got to see this vision, this future, this hope, and then purify ourselves, as 1 John 3:4 says. Notice verse 12. This is 2 Peter 3. It says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." See, by this point, the earth will be purged of all wickedness and deceit and defilement. Thank God for this. Thank God for this future, for this prophecy, for this purging, for this purification. God cleansing the entire earth of corruption and filth, and building a new world. It says here, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. That word hasting there could mean hasting the coming. Strong's defines hastening as speed, diligent, or earnestly. My father asks in the Epistles of Peter booklet, "Can we hasten the day of the eternal?" And he says, "I believe we can." Further on, he writes, "God's work can't end until it is finished. But if we are intensely urgent, we can do it in less time. We must do all we can to end this nightmare world as fast as we can." And then he says, "May God help us to do all that we can." May God help us. May God help you to do all you can to put your heart into God's work. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Send us some email, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.